So there's this guy walking downtown with a sheep on a leash. And a policeman looks at him and says, it's illegal to have those animals here. He goes, you can't have that animal here. Take him to the zoo right now. Guy goes, well, okay. And off he disappears. Next day, the officer's walking his beat. And here comes this guy with a sheep again. And the officer says, I thought I told you to take that sheep to the zoo yesterday. Guy goes, yeah, I did. And so today I'm taking him to the movies. Okay. Tell that to get people in and sitting down. So, no, I actually got it off Google, believe it or not. You know, Google joke of the day. Just some are tellable, some aren't. Okay. I thought I had figured out what I was going to speak on this week, earlier in the week, and I'm starting to work on it. And I've been listening to some material. It actually came from another sermon I'd been listening to. And was it Thursday night? I was wide awake at 4. You know, sometimes you have those nights of insomnia. I don't know if it's a little bit of caffeine or what. I'm just wide awake, not able to sleep. And it was one of those times, you know, I guess it was God speaking. And it was like, why are you preaching on this? Well, I think it's important. Are you sure? I had to think a bit. No, it's because there's a good joke in the middle of it. And I sensed, you know, God saying, is that really a good idea? I thought, okay, I don't have any other ideas. What else? And so anyway, I lay there for a while thinking and praying about it. I guess it was actually Tuesday or Wednesday night. And I just felt God say, how about speaking on healing? And I thought, you know, I haven't talked about that in a long time. That's a good idea. And then I did fall asleep. And then I couldn't remember. I woke up the next morning knowing what I wasn't supposed to speak on, but I couldn't remember what I was supposed to speak on. You ever have those days? So it was a bit of a panicky week because, you know, I sat there, stared at my screen for a while, trying to come up with what am I going to do this Sunday? And then yesterday afternoon, I went down to the coffee shop where I usually study, popped up my computer, and there's a guy I knew from years back who wanted to chat. It's like, I want to be sociable, but okay, so we chat. And finally he left, said, bang, lights went on. Oh, yeah, right. I know where I'm going with this. And so I'm not going to be highly polished this morning, but I think this is something that we're to look at. I've kind of shied away from the teaching of healing the kingdom and that part of the kingdom of God. Our early teaching in the vineyard, that was really front and center. And it became so front and center that after, and there were some distortions around it too, that I began to shy away from it. And I sort of shied away from it for several years. And I know last year at the pastor's conference, I sort of brought this up, like there are some people really pushing, we need to get back to our basics. And I just felt, you know, this is a part of the kingdom of God, but we've kind of ignored the whole of the kingdom of God. And throughout the last year, both here and throughout the vineyard and all over, there's been more and more teaching about the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. And I know within my own life, and it's not ever really been way off balance here, but I think there's been a bit of a balance restored. And now it's time. Now I feel that I want to go back and look at this part of where does healing fit into the kingdom of God. And prayer for healing. And to bring some perspective and bring some teaching. I was originally this morning, I was sharing some of the leadership team last night, thinking of doing a little bit of a workshop. I'm not going to do that. We're going to put that off till the next time I speak. But I just want to walk you through some of the history of the paradigm so that we've bought into a little bit, which is a good paradigm, I believe, of teaching on prayer for healing. It's quite freeing. I just want to share with you that one reason I love the vineyard and my very first attraction to it, you know, many of you know, and I'll be right up front about this. I don't think there's anybody in here who think any less of me for it. Is I believe fully in the gifts, but I don't speak in tongues. Now I know many of you here do speak in tongues. So 20 years ago, that put me in an odd place because the charismatics and the Pentecostals were saying, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just couldn't buy that because I couldn't see the distinguishment in my life between most of those who did, you know, who were living for God, to say that I don't have the Spirit. And others that I looked at and I see that God really working in them who didn't speak in tongues, I say, this just doesn't line up. I had a friend who went to a Pentecostal church and he was told he wanted to help with the youth and it turned out he didn't speak in tongues, so he's told, no, you can't help with the youth. And I remember just really choked at that. So I was caught in this terrible quandary. And then through a long story, you know, I learned what God was doing in the vineyard, and where this whole thing was moot. It was like the gift, God gives the gifts to whom he pleases, and he doesn't give them to all to everybody, and being filled with the Spirit is a whole lot more than speaking in tongues. It's about having being empowered to serve Jesus. I thought, I can live with that. And it, you know, to me, there was just this massive freedom that it took out this sort of I'm going to be right up front, a Gnostic expectation, okay? Gnosticism, which is, you know, a spirituality, which is, you know, if you don't have this, you're really not there. And I know one thing, you know, I've always been impressed with Jesus was that people from the outside who looked at Jesus, he was incredibly, shall we say, normal, okay? Now, he scared a lot of people. His teachings were radical, but there wasn't any aura of a special spirituality. In fact, it was the lack of a special spirituality that made him so attractive. And so that was my first, you know, when I first heard about that, I was like, oh, you know, it's like for years I couldn't fit in the Pentecostal charismatic camps. I was in the conservative camp, but I didn't really fit there. It was like a place that I can go and just be who God has called me to be. And so it was just so incredibly freeing. And I've told a lot of you have heard the story of how we got into it. And I still love the vineyard for that. Walking, you know, struggling with that middle road. And true, you know, we go all over the map in the road. Sometimes it gets way off the, you know, we've gotten off the rails this way, sometimes this way. But it's been a place for open discussion where there isn't a, if you don't believe exactly this, you don't fit. We don't have that. And I love that. And then within that context, John Wimber was, you know, one of his big things that he was known for was healing and as prayer for healing. And I want to just look at the history of this a bit. To a lot of people, you know, when they hear vineyard, they hear, you know, healing and worship. And it was bigger than, it was much bigger than that. But because there was a fair measure of what we could call success around in the early vineyard about prayer for healing, it sort of became almost a negative thing. It was interesting researching this on the web, how many people really were down on it because they felt there's such an overemphasis there. And it was a emphasis, and because of the way it was emphasized, it was there was quite a surge of people, you know, jumping on this bandwagon. It is usually when you get a bandwagon, you get extremes. John Wimber had many strengths. How many of you here ever heard, before he died, ever heard him speak live? You know, there was this simplicity how he speak. Well, he wasn't a showman. You know, he would sit on a stool, teach very gently. There was just this, like, this man's not out to impress me. And it's not like he came out with, I can remember, it's not like, whoa, I've never thought of that before. It's like, I always kind of believed that, but just nobody's ever given me the words for it. And it was just like with this freedom, that, I get it. That makes sense. You know, I can work with this. And like with you know, the where it was in tongues, so it was like with healing. You know, again, the two camps that I you know, we all run into the extremes, or God doesn't heal today, or we don't expect him to heal today. You know, or it, you know, the extreme is that it died in the first century, you know, after the death of the apostles, that ended, so your dispensationalism, or just to the practical, you know, we really don't have faith for it. Or, you know, it just never happens. So, and I've fallen a bit into this, you know, just in the last few years, and God's speaking to me about it. You know, why ask when you hardly ever see it? So there's the one camp of saying, why are we praying for healing if it really, you know, let's just not get our hopes down. The other extreme, which I don't buy into at all, and again, I think falls into a Gnostic camp, is where healing is every child of God's gift. If you're not healed now, it's because of lack of faith, or because you're not filled enough with the Spirit, or whatever. And we see these guys preaching this, and you know what? I think that's just as dangerous as the other, because that just wasn't. When you hear that, you just feel, how many of you, when you hear that, just feel guilt and condemnation because you prayed for healing, it doesn't happen, okay? Jesus wasn't about guilt and condemnation. He just wasn't. And I read the Gospels and I go, yeah, now Jesus healed everybody, and he passed this authority on his disciples, and I'm not going to get into all the answers, which I don't have, of why we don't see a lot of healing now. But again, I loved You know, the initial stuff I was hearing about it was, we pray for healing, we pray for healing, we pray for healing, we pray for healing, and when it comes, we give the glory to God. And if the healing doesn't come, we go out and enjoy a cup of coffee together and just love on each other. And I thought, there's something really, really freeing about that. And he taught a lot on, and Peter Wagner and others spoke into this, was that we live at these in-between times. And this is a core teaching, that, again, why I love being part of the Vineyard. I've taught on a bit where, you know, Jesus' death and resurrection was some of the future injected into the here and the now. It was a taste of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is going to be fully come on earth someday. And you know, we're going to be part of that. We're not going to die. Boy, it's sort of exciting stuff. And something about this future, when the times change, is with the resurrection of Jesus, it was something of, and Jesus was saying stuff in the future, the promise of the future, when everybody's going to be healed, there will be no more death, is being injected back into the present. We still live in this present evil age, but we're in the in-between times. It's often compared to to D-Day and V-Day in World War II. D-Day, you know, landing on the beaches at Normandy, the tide turned. Okay, at that point, the war, Hitler, it was a done deal that Hitler was going to be wiped out. The war was going to be over. That was D-Day, and at that point, the victory started coming. But it was almost a year later to V-Day, which is victory in Europe, when the treaties were signed, that the guns were put down. In that time, there were more lives lost from D-Day to V-Day than the war before that. And how Wimber and others have taught on this is Jesus coming and announcing the kingdom, his death and resurrection on the cross, that was D-Day. The tide turned. Now, the things of the future were going to start occurring now. We were not at V-Day yet. When Christ returns, that is V-Day. That's when all things are put right. But in the meantime, we're in the middle of a war, okay? Hell is breaking loose around us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to step up to the plate and help bring some of the future into the here and now as tastes and samples of this is what God has for the future. But we're not to the future yet. But because we're not in the future yet does not mean that we should not be raising our expectations and saying, God, I want to see more of the future now. And it needs to flow not just from a place we want to see, the Pharisees asked for a sign. Obviously, we want to see healing for a sign. We just want a sign so we believe that God is with us. And Jesus wouldn't give them a sign. It was interesting when Jesus did healing how just his love for the people he was healing came forward. It wasn't a show. He would often tell them, don't talk about it. Be quiet about it. But we live here in the now, but not yet. There's a very common term within Vineyard circles, the now, but the not yet. So there's a tension. And I could, you know, I've heard teachings, we could go on a long time, this talking about that tension between the now and the not yet. But it's something that when we learn to live in that tension comes phenomenal freedom. Now, within that tension are, again, the extremes we have to be careful of is saying, if you pray for healing and you're not healed, then either inadequate prayer or not enough faith, okay, we stay away from that because we are in this time where we're all going to die. It doesn't matter how great your faith is. It doesn't matter if you're healed from every disease. If we really believe that, if there's somebody who really had enough faith to pray for healing, there should be some people around living about 1,500 years old, right? We're all going to die. You know, no matter what, our bodies are slow. You know, once you're past 21, your cells quit producing as fast as you're wearing them out. Okay, we're all going downhill. Some of us faster than others. By God's grace, some of us, you know, I'm asking, he keeps mine at a slow enough pace. I've told you before, I want to get to 90. I have very specific reasons for wanting to get there, which have to do with kingdom stuff and my family. But we are under the curse that we're going to die. But what we're looking for is seeing, but what we're asking God for, is because we love God, because we love each other, we want to see things happening here and now, taste of the kingdom, so things that remind us of what's coming. And so the one extreme, like I said, is that, you know, to expect more than what God has promised, okay? The other extreme is to say not to pursue it. And there is something to be said for you have not because you don't ask. And you know, some of us, we become so tied with the world around us and just getting by the day to day, we quit asking. And I know how often there's things that, how many times as I've stopped and started asking God for something specific I really wanted, and it's not like a slot machine, but how often he does answer. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes his answer is answers I don't understand. Wait a while. But how often has been that he's waiting for me to ask before he's going to answer? Now, within the early vineyard, when Wimber was studying the Gospels and as a new believer, he was, you know, he didn't have a lot of the baggage that I'd grown up with. He was so impressed that Christ, Jesus said he healed, and he was giving us authority to heal too. There should be more of this. So he began preaching on this, and he'd preach, and they'd all come forward for healing, and nobody get healed. So the next week preached, they'd all come forward for healing, nobody get healed. This went on for months, and not only were people not getting healed, they were getting sicker, and he was so discouraged. But one thing I say for Wimber, he was a man who didn't quit. He firmly believed that God told him, "You preach in this till we see the change start to come." And so he'd preach and pray. And one day, I wasn't able to find the story to get all the exact details, but I know he got a call from a guy, and his wife was sick in bed. He says, "Will you come and pray for my wife?" And it was sort of like he was just at the bottom. He was at the end of his ropes. But, you know, being a good pastor, how can you say no, eh? And so at any rate, so he went over there, and she was in bed. He went in there, and he laid hands on her and prayed just a very unfaithful prayer for her. And then he turned around and started explaining to the husband how, you know, God, you know, often doesn't heal. He'll heal in his own time. And he see, you know, the husband's looking really kind of weird, like, what's going on? And he turns around, and the woman's getting up and getting her house coat on to go make breakfast. And it's like she's been healed. And he's so tired, and he's so discouraged, he can't even believe what's happening. And he went out to his car afterwards, and it was like, we got one. And it wasn't till then began the turn of a tide. And they'd prayed for something like 1,000 people without seeing a single healing. And after that, there's quite a rash of healings. And when you get a lot happening, sometimes it gets a little weird. But, you know, I've often wondered, why did it take so long? And I think it's because there's one sense, how much can God trust us? You know, you see people for who it comes easy, and then they become the show, they become the expert, they become, there's the healer, or the great preacher, or many other gifts that God gives. When they come too easy, and we say, I deserve this, or this is because of who I am, and we see these horrible abuses out there. And I'll say one thing about what Wimber was doing, nobody could accuse him of ever using it as a show or abusing. You know, there's no glittering jacket, it was kept quiet. Often, sometimes, you know, they'd be in worship, be working up into a frenzy, he would stop it and do the announcements because he didn't want this Gnostic sense of if we create the spirituality, then God will come. He wanted this very natural thing that God is already here in our midst. We need to learn to see him, whether we're doing announcements, whether we're doing preaching, whether we're doing worship. It's not something we work ourselves up into. So one of John Wimber's favorite sayings was, everybody gets to play. We're not going to have pros in this, okay? There's not going to be, here's the person with the healing gifts. Everybody goes to this person. But it was something that was to be distributed out that we all get to hear the Spirit. We all get to pray for each other. And again, part of his teaching was the gifts would flow through us. There are people who do have more of a propensity, like just God tends to, this person will pray for healing more often and see people healed. This person will have prayer for or faith for something else. There will be those who have stronger areas that God seems to gift them in. Some will have greater gifts of intercession. But at the same time, we all get to pray for healing. We all get to experience gifts of evangelism. They somewhat of a sense that they can flow in and out through us. But his big thing was everybody gets to play. And he'd have people up. Some of the people that he found had the greatest sense of hearing God and ability to pray for healing, see it happen, were brand new believers. And go explain that one. These weren't the Spirit-filled, experienced. You know, these are people who were still often living despicable lifestyles who just met Jesus. And yet, for some reason, when they pray for people to heal, they get healed. And perhaps, you know, they speculate some of the reason for that was just to give their faith a kickstart to get them going. But God doesn't always make our faith easy for us, because he wants us to learn to trust more and more for him and not just in the gifts that, that he's going to give us. And Wimber designed, in their early church, they designed what they called a five-step model for praying for healing. And that's what I want to go through today. And I was actually thinking we would actually would work this through, maybe bring ask some people if they wanted a prayer for healing today. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to have time. But I'd like to do this next time. I think it's in 3 weeks that I'm speaking, that we actually do it as a bit of a clinic. But I'm just going to run through these steps, because the beauty of how this was set up, and I'll be going through it a little quickly, so we're going to go through it a bit more depth, and it's not the method of healing, but it's a workable system that means everybody gets to pray. There's no pressure on the person being prayed for of having to feel guilty or whatever, or to be healed, or to put on any performance. There's not a pressure on the prayers, but it's just a method that allows us to love on each other and to show, you know, to show God's love for each other, to seek God together for each other. A quote from Wimber was, "It's okay to get it wrong, to make mistakes and feel foolish. As long as the person you are praying for feels loved and cared for, they will be okay." Okay? So if the person's not feeling under pressure, if you're not feeling under pressure to get somebody healed, and they're not feeling under pressure to perform and get healed, but we're seeking God together, it's taking a risk, but it's not a crushing one. And another quote from Wimber that I like, "Our job is to obey. God's job is to heal, so we can't fail." Okay? If our goal is to obey God and pray for healing, it's not our responsibility that somebody gets healed. It's our responsibility to obey God and pray for people's healing. So we can't fail if we do that. And then it's up to God what he's going to do. We do our part, then we drop the guilt and our inadequacy. We do what God told us to do. We're not the healer. And again, I'm impressed with Jesus' teaching that faith is like a mustard seed, okay? We must grasp this. This is critical that we grasp. And we've all heard despicable teaching saying, if a faith like a mustard seed will move a mountain, what's wrong with your faith? Okay, isn't that awful? Does that, when you hear that kind of stuff, doesn't it make you feel inadequate? You know, why did Jesus even say that if you just have faith like a mustard seed? Now, there is a sense in which Jesus spoke a lot, being part of his culture. We've talked about this in, what's the word? Somebody help me. Pardon? Hyperbole, okay? He did speak in hyperbole. It didn't literally mean, you know, I've never known anybody to move a mountain by having faith. But what he's saying is you don't need a lot of faith to start. Obedience is faith. We're not told to have big faith. We're just told to have faith. Enough to ask, like the guy who came to Jesus and asked for healing, and Jesus said, "Do you believe I can do this?" And I love this answer. And Jesus healed the guy. The guy was just so frankly honest. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." There's genuine faith. You know what genuine faith is? The measure of genuine faith is not when you pray for somebody and you have enough faith to get them healed. The genuine faith is when you say, "I'm going to pray for you," and you do it. And then it's really up to God whether or not that person is healed or not. And there's some practical steps we can take in that. But I just, we have to avoid living in the place that says, that builds us into a place of inadequacy and insecurity and inferiority. You know what? God really loves us. And he wants to work these things in our midst, not to make us feel inadequate, but because he loves us. He wants to bring freedom. And so we need to avoid a theology and understanding in this that on the one extreme says God really doesn't care and it's not no point in asking, you know, it never happens anyways. And the other extreme saying, you know, if you were really spiritual, this would happen. So we need to find practical ways to walk that down. Just got to wait for this to come up. So John Wimber and the early Vineyard developed this five-step healing procedure. And in Kingdom Ministry training, those of you who have been through Kingdom Ministry, you've seen this. We haven't really looked at it in a lot of years, and I'm realizing now we've been somewhat delinquent there. It's not a formula. It's just something that within our current culture with a whole understanding of keeping it, this isn't the work of professionals. Everybody gets to play. This was just a system that I even hate to use the word system because there's so much room for flexibility here. There's not any way that works, any way that doesn't. But this is just something that's part of our heritage as being part of a vineyard that was very meaningful. It's very important. This is not a magic formula. It's just a way of walking this through that people get loved on and get prayed for. And that allows the freedom for, regardless of your experience, past, history, length of time you've been in Christian spirituality, everybody gets to pray and ask God to see things happen. It was birthed by study, prayer, experience as a workable model. Like I said, it's part of our history. So basically what they taught was it would begin with an interview. Like when somebody comes forward for prayer, you start asking some basic questions. Now, I'm going to do something here that I hate doing, but I'm going to use some technology here. I love it and I hate it because I'm embarrassed when I do it. I was looking for some more teaching this, and I loaded it on here because I couldn't get on my computer. A long story. So basically, the interview is just determining what do you want God to do for you. If it's in a conference situation, something like that, it's like just establishing communication. What's your name? Who are you? In a small setting like this, we all know who everybody is, so we don't have to start there. But part of what we want to know is what do you want God to do for you? Where does it hurt? What would you like us to pray for? It's like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus saying, "What do you want me to do for you, Lord? I want to see." I don't know if I've told you the joke before, someone consider this unholy, but I'm going to tell it anyways because it really makes the point. Jesus walks into a bar, and there's a guy crippled over there with a spina bifida, and he walks in the bar. And this guy looks at him and says, "You're Jesus, aren't you?" And Jesus goes, "Yes, I am." And he says, "Let me buy you a drink." And Jesus says, "Well, thank you very much." So he buys Jesus a drink. And Jesus leans over, puts his hand on the guy's back. He says, "Listen, you're healed." The guy straightens up. He jumps up, does a couple backflips. Yay, praise God, hallelujah. And he goes running on the bar to tell everybody. Well, Jesus goes over, sees this other guy over there that's got one leg about a foot shorter than the other, so he's got an awful limp. And the guy says, "You're Jesus." And Jesus goes, "Yes, I am." The guy says, "Well, listen, sit down. Let me buy you a drink." So Jesus sits down. They're sharing a drink together. And Jesus says, "Listen." He leans over. He puts his hand on the guy's short leg. He says, "Leg, girl, join the other one." Guy stunned. Looks at his leg and jumps up, dances a jig. "Praise God, thank you, Jesus." And he runs out to tell all his friends. Well, Jesus walks over and sees this guy. He's a bit of a redneck sitting there. And he walks over and sits down beside him. The guy goes, "You're Jesus." And Jesus goes, "Yes, I am." He says, "Don't touch me. I'm on a disability." Okay? Not everybody wants to be healed. I mean, it's sort of a sad, sick way of looking at it, but it's an important question to ask. What do you want? What do you want God to do for you? And there's a couple levels on this. One is you're listening to what they're having to say. The other level is why they're sharing this. You're asking God, are you saying anything to this? Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? God speaks to us. Because sometimes he gives us insight into stuff that's going on. We're not looking for all the gory medical details, okay? And sometimes we have to be careful in how we approach that one, too. Basically, we're wanting to hear, what is God saying about this person? And sometimes it's because what's needed right there has nothing to do with the physical healing, but there might be something beyond that. That's part of discernment that we're to pray for. Again, a quote from Wimber, "It's more important to know what kind of person has the bug than what kind of bug has the person. It's more important to have details about the person and the relationship with God than technical medical details. The goal is to leave the person feeling more loved by God than before they were prayed for." It also has a lot to do with just showing respect for the person. You're not just a test case. We're not trying you out or whatever. But it's really just, what would you like to see God do? How can we help you? How can we encourage you? And seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit in that. The second step was attempting a diagnosis. Why does this person have this condition? And here's where sometimes it's got to be handled very gently. And again, within the community and how well you know the people, or sometimes it's safe with people you don't know. Like sometimes the cause is sin. And we have to be very careful with that one. Sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's social, sometimes it's from past family things, sometimes it's because I broke my neck while skiing. And again, it's listening to the Holy Spirit, helping the church, you know, what's the history behind this thing? And it's not going to be a major diagnosis, it's an overlap with step one. And this is where we're asking God for words of knowledge, visions, Bible verses, any insights to help us determine why they have this condition. I've got here is I downloaded some information from a vineyard on a bit of a detailed on this. They said the preparation of this was very last minute, so that's why I have it on here. I actually downloaded this morning. Wimber called this step putting up your spiritual antenna. You're listening to the person, talk about what they have. You're also asking God, is there anything behind this? Where do we go from here? Sometimes it's supernatural, sometimes it's demonization. I've only run into demonization once. It wasn't as weird as I thought it would be, and it's surprising how I know sometimes they're quite complicated. This one wasn't. It was just ordering it to leave, and it did. It was an interesting change. I'm not going to tell the story right now. So secondly, it's just diagnosing what's going on, and then prayer selection. What kind of prayer will be effective? How are we going to pray? We're both praying to God. We're asking the Spirit to come and to heal. We're interceding with the mind and for those who have the gift of tongues, whatever. Just pray to God. Show us what you have to say here. And listening to God, what He's saying. What are you to do? Like sometimes we're to speak against the disease. If it's a spirit, we're to speak against the spirit. Sometimes it's pronouncing, pronouncing freedom from perhaps emotional things that have happened in the past that have got a person locked into where they're locked into. Some of this follows from having prayed and asked God, what is the diagnosis? What is the thing? What's the mystery behind the mystery that's causing this? And praying into that. Wimber talked about starting by asking the Holy Spirit to come and minister to the person, which helps them to become receptive, especially if they can tangibly feel His presence. And that's the interesting thing. Often people are being prayed for healing, even if they aren't receiving a physical healing, have a strong sense of God's presence with them. And some of that comes from just people loving on them. This is where, if laying hands on a person while you pray for them. And here's where, again, things become so weird so fast. How many of you have seen the vineyard model where you're holding your hand and keeping the hand about 3-4 inches from their shoulder, or, you know, people standing around? That type of became a mystical thing. Like, you know, I remember hearing stories, it's so we don't disturb the person. We don't actually touch them. We just keep our hand close. That model of prayer was started in the Anaheim Vineyard. They were in this great big warehouse with no air conditioning. And if you put your hand on a person, physically rest your hand on them, the water would start soaking through their shirt and they'd have all these handprints on them. It was disgusting. It was like 90 degrees in this place. It was nasty. So this group of people, you know, the Anaheim Vineyard, who's having phenomenal success in praying for people and praying people healed. So people are coming from all over the world to see this, and they see people praying for people, you know, with their hands like this. And they think, oh, that must be the spiritual, that's the way to do it. Then they create the story because it's, you know, you don't want to disturb the person. And it just gets downright weird. And it was all because people were sweating. It was kind of gross. Okay? It was that simple. So when you pray for, you know, put your hand in the appropriate place, you know, on the head or on the shoulder. There's little practical things like this that just make a lot of sense. Ask God how to lead you. Sometimes there's, you know, Jesus said, get up and walk. I've never had that God give me that kind of sense that I was supposed to say that, and somebody got up and walked that was crippled. We've got to move on. Prayer engagement. Here's where we get some feedback. How are you doing? You know, level with me. Nothing. Okay, let's pray a little more. How are you doing? I sense God's presence. Sometimes healing begins to happen. Again, this is where you look for the effect, you observe, you see if something's happening. It's just, again, nothing spectacular. It's a small community at the time. You're asking questions. And there may be a point where you start, you know, all of a sudden, maybe all of a sudden the person's healed. Maybe it's you there's nothing left to pray. Maybe the children are dismissed from Sunday school. Okay? It's time to stop. You know, God's not limited by this kind of stuff. Again, we can lay all sorts of blame on ourselves, say, you know, if we just had 6 hours to pray for this person, we get through the healing. Hey, our faith is the size of a mustard seed. If you've got 5 minutes to pray, there's your mustard seed. You take what you got. Very practical. Again, you know, the beauty of conferences, shall we say, when there seems to be a high level of faith where a lot more healing seems to happen, afterwards, sometimes there is occasion where you can people pray for 1 or 2 hours for somebody. If you got it, great. If that's what it takes, great. But we live with what God's given us. We don't feel guilty for what God hasn't given us. The signs of healing do not need to be present for God to work and to heal. Even if they are present, it doesn't mean that God will heal. But often, if there's signs of God's presence, maybe shaking or whatever, I'm not going to get big into that. Often come as just simple. God is present. He's doing what he sees as his priority needs to be done right now. A lot more detail I'm not going to go into because the kids have been dismissed. So, and again, if a person's like eyes closed and you know, God's ministering to them, it's good. Stay with them, and don't feel scared to ask questions. It's like you're not going to break a spiritual connection. There is. It's not like there's this holy hotline. If if you just take them out of the spirit, it's going to stop what God's doing. That's not God. That's again back to the super spirituality which we're trying to break. If a person's there, ask, how are you doing? You know, are you feeling anything? Is God saying anything? This isn't the work of an expert, is it? This is something we all can do. We can all be part. You don't have to be a professional to do this. I mean, it's good. The first while, you might want to be somebody who's done a little more. But the goal of this, and the whole point of what we're doing is everybody gets to pray. They'd have all these people in there, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids praying for people. And they would go do these conferences all over the world because God gave them a great measure of success in the early 80s to mid-80s. They take these teams all over the world of people who weren't expert Christians. They were just people who were on fire for Jesus and who knew that if you started asking regularly, not everybody got healed, but a lot of people did get healed. And the final step was post-prayer direction. Like where do we go with this now? What do you do to keep your healing or to pursue it more? If there's sin involved, it may be stop sinning. Jesus did that. There was a guy who came to him. He was healed. He went back. He came back to Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, now stop sinning or something worse might happen to you. Now, we don't have the whole story. You've got to be careful with lines like that. So there's obviously more to that story. It would appear that there's some sin the guy was involved in that had resulted in his condition. And we're not told the whole story. All we know is Jesus told him, don't do it anymore or it might get worse. So there's common sense stuff. You know, if we're regularly in the habit of doing something that's creating destruction in our body and we're healed from it, it's probably not a good idea to go back and keep doing the thing we were doing that's wrecking our body. Sometimes there may be supernatural leading that God shows us, you know, here's something this person needs to know to follow up on this. And sometimes it's just general counsel. You know, let's meet again next week. Whatever. It might be encouraging the person to get involved. If they're not in a church and they've sensed God strongly the first time, to get involved in a place in a community of believers. Don't like using the word church because that carries a lot of baggage around with it. It might be a small group, but hang around with other people who will continue to pray, who encourage you, who walk you on. And what if they're not healed? Okay, post prayer. What if there's no healing takes place? Well, again, here's where in the community we're to reassure them that God loves them, encourage them to keep on asking. And assure them that God never reacts with, oh, no, not you again. Okay? And I know I've been guilty of that sometimes. Good thing God's a lot more patient than I am. He says to keep on asking. You know, we don't stop asking. Treat people as you would like to be treated. Protect their dignity. And remember, we can't heal. Only God can. We're only his instruments. And if he doesn't do it, it's his responsibility. He's big enough to carry. And again, a quote from Wimber, after all, God can give you everything that you need so that you may always have sufficient. Actually, this isn't from Wimber. This is Corinthians. but it's Paul. More authority. God can give you everything that you need so that you may always have sufficient both for yourselves and for giving away to other people. So that's a very quick overview. It's a model. It's not a formula. And what I'd like for us to do in 3 weeks is we're going to have a time to pray for healing for each other. And I'm going to put this screen up here again, and we're going to go through it step by step. Again, this isn't a super spiritual thing. We've got to have all the steps memorized. It's not something I can't stop and interrupt and say, okay, we're moving on to the next step. But I'd like for us to just to have some practice at this. And I know there's members, there's people here in this body who really do need a touch of God in their lives for physical healing. I'm not talking just the sniffles and a stub toe. I know there's some of you here that have some conditions that have you concerned. Or that you would like to see a major change happen, something you've been dealing with. And I'm not going to stand here and say, if we do this, you're going to get healed. But you know what? Let's start asking. You have not because you ask not. And I'd like to see us incorporate more of this in our times together, in our ministry times. I apologize that this has been something I've kind of let slide for a lot of years now as I've been wrestling through, let's say, somewhat of an observation of some abuses of seeing the Holy Spirit coming. And I think now it's time to draw the circle around again. We've seen a lot of balancing happening out. The pedal is up, for more ministry and more building each other up. And I'd like to see more of a move of the Holy Spirit, not in a super spiritual way, but just in a way that our faith is increased. And our faith is increased by seeing God move. It's not by churning it up. It's not by saying, if I just had more faith. It's not by feeling guilty. It's just asking. And if it takes time, a year, 2 years, 2 months, so be it. But let's pursue this more. Does anybody have any questions on that? Or comments?
I just was thinking of one thing that Bob said was, asking God. And a lot of us have done listening prayer, and God can answer us. So even in this 3 week waiting time, we can still be asking the Lord. He loves to answer us. Sometimes we just don't take long enough to listen.
So it's 10 to 12. So the kids are kind of coming and going. And so I'm going to close there. Encourage you to be in prayer. If somebody wants prayer this morning, that's fine. But give some time, some thinking to this over the next. See, next week, Patrick's here with us. This is his last week before he's gone. So we'll give him a rousing send-off. The next week is family service. And I think the kids are working on something. I'm not sure if that's coming through or not. And then the week after that, I'm speaking again. And that's when I'd like to come back and revisit this. So give some thought to this. And especially if you've got something you'd like to see that God touch in your life, I'd encourage you to come and speak to me about that in advance so we can kind of so it's not all fly by the seat of your pants. Some of you I'm probably going to approach. Others, if you want to talk to me about it, please do. And let's pray. Father, we want to walk more out the ministry of Jesus. And I'll be the first to admit that I feel a bit inadequate in this and a bit insecure in it. But I just know that Jesus was so good. And that if you're like him, that you're good too. And that you have something here for us, maybe beyond our expectations. Father, would you guard us from stupidity in it? We want to see the reality of walking out your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And ask for your protection in that, that as you, if you choose to bless us more in that, that you would keep us from letting go to our heads and becoming experts or anything better or any sense of pride in that. I know we're so, I'm so culpable of that. But we want to know your friendship. And we want to know how to love the world around us like you loved it. And like you do love it. So over these next little bit, as we think about this and begin to talk about it more, Would you be speaking to us, to each of us here? Would you be hearing your voice? Would you be calming us, reassuring us of your love for us and your plans for us? And this I'm asking for in Jesus' name. Amen.